All right, welcome. This is the Sunday night meeting for November 25th, 2018, and we are talking about the daily practice as is listed in the book, When Misery is Company by Anne Catherine. Is there anyone you'd like to start us out reading on page 196?
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, my name is Megan.
Hey, Megan, welcome. We're glad you're here. We're just getting started on page 196 with the daily practice. Would you be in a position to read?
Hi, I'm so sorry I'm late. I had the wrong number.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Well, I'm glad you're here. You made it. That's wonderful.
Thanks. To read out loud?
Yes.
Under self-sabotage?
It's on page 196. Towards the bottom of the page, it's called Daily Practice.
Sure.
Yeah, so
How long?
It's beneath the self-sabotage section. Good. Yeah, excellent.
How long should I read for?
Whatever feels comfortable for you is great.
Okay. Morning. When you first wake up, repeat the first three steps aloud. 1, we admitted we were powerless over self-sabotage, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. Next, look at your plan for the day. Look for those events, appointments, obligations, plans, or places that could seduce you to sabotage yourself. 1, your schedule. Is it too full? Will you have trouble getting meals in? What can you reschedule? Hold on 1 second. I'm in my car.
Don't park like at some other lot on the main street.
Okay.
Like for that Starbucks or the Whole Foods market or something.
Cool.
All right.
I can do that. Thanks, Carlos.
Have
a good night. Okay. Okay, so I can't keep reading. I have to move my car.
Understood, and thank you so much. And what a commitment that you're doing the meeting from your car. Way to go. Is there anyone
I just got out of another meeting.
Okay, there you go. Talk about your commitments. I love it. Is there anyone who'd like to pick up where she left off? In the middle of page 197.
Elena, this is Lorna. I can do it.
Thank you so much, Lorna.
Okay, oops. Sorry. I forgot I took my contacts out. So now I'm grabbing some glasses. All right. Where did she leave off? I'm sorry.
That's fine. It's 197. Go ahead and just start with next. Look at your plan for the day.
Okay, next, look at your plan for the day. Look for those events, appointments, obligations, plans, or places that could seduce you to sabotage yourself. 1, your schedule. A, is it too full? Will you have trouble getting meals in? What can you reschedule? B, is it too empty? Call your sponsor. Go to a meeting. Okay. C, are you prepared to carry out all your responsibilities? D, realistically, when do you need to leave for each appointment, event, or meeting in order to be at least 5 minutes early, even if traffic is worse than usual? 2, think about where, when, and how you will get your meals. 3, plan and schedule at least one rest period in your day. This should be at least half an hour, something pleasurable, I wrote in the side there on the side. 4, plan for a meeting or a call with a healthy friend or your sponsor. And 5, ask yourself, is there anything about my day that needs to be changed to protect my abstinence? As your day proceeds, if you have an impulse to do something you haven't planned or to sacrifice something good that you have scheduled, ask yourself this vital question: am I thinking of doing this because I'm addicted to misery? Do you want me to go ahead and finish? Sure.
If you don't mind, that would be lovely.
Okay. evening. Keep a notebook by your bed before you go to sleep each night and before you get too tired. Mentally review your day. Respond to or do the following. 1. What part of the day went beautifully? What pattern did you follow that made it so? 2. What part of the day fell apart? What planning, action, or decision could have created a better outcome? 3. What can you learn about your pattern from what happened? What can you learn about it from it about yourself? 4. In your notebook, jot down what you learned. Convert all mistakes to lessons. 5. Quickly write down 3 things you are grateful for. 6. Put your arms around yourself and give yourself comfort. Picture these as the arms of someone who loves you. If someone else who loves you is beside you or nearby, ask to spend some time in this person's arms as well. 7. Go to sleep early enough to get sufficient rest for the next day. An unwillingness to do this daily practice indicates that your recovery is out of whack. Whenever you don't want to do the daily practice, go to a recovery meeting ASAP or call your sponsor promptly.
Thank you so much, Lorna. I love how Aunt Catherine is like, okay, it's clear. If you're not willing to take care of yourself, it means you are doing self-sabotage. It's just straight up. And she doesn't mess around with it, which I just think is absolutely beautiful. So, again, I mentioned that we talked about this in other meetings. So one of the things that was suggested is that we put it all in present tense. Another suggestion was the look at your day inventory. It might be helpful to do that the night before so that you have time to make adjustments. And then talked about putting things in the first person and do something pleasurable. I love that you added that in there, something just for you. It can be something silly, simple, doesn't have to be a big deal, but just a moment to say, you know what, I care about you and I love you and I'm doing something for you. And that's all new to us. And to me, you know, I know if my higher power could, you know, they would hug me. They would do these things for me, but they're looking for me to step up and do these things for myself, which is important. Doing something for 5 minutes is better than doing nothing at all. And then one of the things that can come up is, oh, I don't have time. Well, the reality is that when we're living in recovery, living in a recovered state, all the time that we used to waste on woulda, coulda, shoulda, on beating ourselves up for didn't get it done, all that time comes back to us. And suddenly we have a lot more time. Watch out for perfectionism. That is the enemy to stepping up and doing something new. Watch out for feelings that we don't deserve to feel good. That's our disease. Our disease says, no, you don't deserve that. Not true, not true at all. As children of universe, children of Creator, children of God, we do deserve to feel well, and we do deserve to have a good life, and it takes some work to do that. It means doing the hard stuff. One of these suggestions was to do the hard thing first. So if you've got a list of things you want to get done, put the hard one at the top. Or if you've got 2 or 3 hard ones, put a hard one each day rather than giving yourself one day with a bunch of hard stuff to do. Someone else suggested that we do SMART goals, which are simple, measurable, actionable. I forget what the R and the T mean. Does anyone know what the R and the T in SMART mean? Nope. Okay. I will look it up before I do the write-up then. Do what you are most tempted to run from. That's another note I have in the margin. And that whole thing about practicing self-soothing, giving yourself a hug, rocking. For me, music does it. You know, putting on something really, really beautiful, shutting my eyes, turning off everything else, and just being with that music for 5 minutes. To me, that's HP time. That's time that I'm, you know, basking in the joy and the love that is available in life. And then just another note that I have at the bottom of the page that I thought was really interesting. Choices are the opposite of addiction. So when I don't want to do something, and I do it anyway, I have lost my ability to choose. And that's my addiction, sticking its little nose into my life. And when I'm living in recovery, I can recognize my choices and I can make them. And I can choose to do the healthy stuff. I can choose to do the stuff that I've been putting off and the things that I've been scared of for whatever reason. And to me, that makes a huge difference. Okay, and now we're going to open it up for sharing. I can go ahead and leave the recording on if that's okay, so that we can capture this. And again, we're going to write all this up. It won't be attributed to anybody. It'll just be anonymous. But just all the ideas that we had for this daily practice, we'll put in a nice little write-up. We'll send it out to the team. Anyone who's got edits, we'll go ahead and do that. And when we're all fairly satisfied with it, we'll go ahead and put it in the Living the Steps section. So let's go around the horn here. Shirley, do you have anything you'd like to share?
I would, but I'm in the house yet. I'll be home in about 5 minutes. Okay, thank you.
Okay, we'll come back to you in 5 minutes. Megan, are you situated now where you can talk safely?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I'm also still driving and we'll be home soon. If you can come back around, I'll be home in like 3 minutes.
I will come back to you. No worries.
All right.
Thank you. Tara, would you have anything you'd like to share? You may be on mute. Okay, we'll come back to you. Gucci, do you have anything you'd like to share?
I don't, actually. So I'll pass.
Okay, no worries. Michael, do you have anything you'd like to share?
Sorry about that. I just jumped on a little late, so I didn't catch what we're talking about. So I might have to pass like everybody else.
Okay, no worries at all. Malcolm, do you have anything you'd like to share?
As a matter of fact, I will. I'll share an experience here. This section about daily practice, when I first read it, when I first started this program and read the book initially, or at least this section, I wrote this off as, gee, that's too simple, that's too easy, that can't possibly have a big impact on me, therefore I'm not going to do it. And so 5.5 years later, I've never actually used this daily routine. And I would say the quality of my recovery reflects that I've been very picky about what parts of this program I choose to engage in and parts that I choose not to. And as I've thought about it, if I knew for a certainty that if I engaged this routine for a week or a month or even a year, and I would do it every day for that period of time, if I knew for sure that there was a guarantee that my life would be what I hope and want it to be, but there's no doubt that I could and would do it. The fact that I have chosen not to engage this these daily practices as written here is an indication of, I would say for me, a lack of faith. It's a lack of faith in the program, in the book, whatever the target may be. It's a lack of faith because I'm holding out for a guarantee and evidence, and I think that's probably a lifetime of waiting for that sort of thing, for a proof of process to get me to the quality of life that I strive for. So I'm just kind of putting that out there. Putting my thoughts out there for me to hear as much as anybody else, and taking it as a yet another wake-up call to engage my this recovery program at a deeper level, and possibly get an even better result than what I've gotten heretofore. That's what I got, and I'll pass.
Michael, thank you so much. I'm sure you have spoken the words that many are feeling. Thank you. That's beautiful. I love it. Steve, would you like to speak at this time? If you're speaking, you're on mute. Okay. Is there anyone I haven't called on who would like to speak?
Hey, Elena, this is Lorna.
Hey, Lorna.
We actually read this yesterday at the Saturday meeting, too, because I ran out of the first thing that we shared. So I love this, and I don't do this exactly step by step, but it reminds me of being in my eating disorder program, OA, and writing down my food and what I was going to eat the next day and how it really took it off my mind, and I didn't really obsess about it anymore. So this is really kind of part of that for me. And I used to have a laundry list as long as my arm of things that I was going to do each day. And what I do is write it in my phone. So I have reminders when I get off from teaching and then my tutoring at, you know, like 5 o'clock, I would have 5 or 6 things that I was going to do before I went to bed. And, of course, on the weekend, it was even longer. And that was definitely a way to beat up on myself, because no human could do what I thought that I would be able to do or should be able to do in a day. So I've gotten much smarter about that and narrowed it down quite a bit. And if I don't finish something, rather than beat myself up, I just move it to the next day on my phone, on my calendar. And that has been working. And eventually, you know, I get it done. I've gotten a lot better. I'm looking at one that I highlighted, the realistically when do you need to leave for each appointment, event, or meeting in order to be at least 5 minutes early. I used to be late everywhere I went, and I'm not late anymore, which is another positive. The thing about planning a rest period during the day, I remember saying there's no way, I don't have time to rest for half an hour and this kind of thing. And I'm not sure that I do half an hour, and you mentioned earlier it could just be a shorter amount of time. But, you know, I do get something in. I do get some kind of rest time in. I can't really say that it's always pleasurable, but it's just really not doing anything, which is definitely a rest type period for me. So I guess that's all I want to share. The night thing, I'm still working on that, what to do before I go to bed. But the morning, doing my little morning meditation and saying the first 3 steps of this program and giving my life and my children's life over to the care of God, it's becoming a habit, and I'm definitely seeing positive results because of doing these things. So, happy to say. All right, with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Lorna. Shirley, are you home yet? Would you like to share?
Yeah, but I have my hands wet. you know, I was labeled Shortcut Shirley years ago. Oh, not sorry. Still Shirley, still recovering. And years ago, friends labeled me Shortcut Shirley because I would find a way. I thought I had to find a way to make things quicker, faster, get more done. And oftentimes it worked to the opposite, of course. But I put my own spin on things. maybe that's the defiance. I'm not sure. But instead of criticizing it, I use it. And waking up in the morning used to be, oh, God, another morning feeling. That's what it was. It was always, oh, I didn't get that done yesterday, so now I've got that and this to do. I'd start off with all the negative. And it set the tone for my mood immediately on a downward spiral. Now I wake up, and somewhere in the book it talks about looking at nature and not labeling it, not defining it, not trying to assess it in any way. Just look at it and feel it. And my bed faces windows that look out over trees and the sky, and I just feel the wonderfulness of doing that. Just feel the peace. And in a way, I think I'm working steps 1, 2, and 3. I am not going into the negative, which is step 1. I am admitting that I would go to the negative if I had the choice. And, well, if my disease had the choice, let's put it that way. And so that for me, that's step 1. And the 2 and 3 is that I know there's a power greater than me, because I could not make a tree. I couldn't make one damn leaf. And I feel that trust, faith, hope, all of that stuff, I can't even put words to the feelings. I just know it feels good as opposed to the old bad stuff. And I have the night before prepared the plan for the day, and if it looks like it's going to get bumpy, I've either called or emailed and arranged something differently. I'm actually even further ahead than that. Days now, I don't overschedule. For me, the rule is, somebody please turn on your mute. Thanks. I try to do no more than 1, maybe 2 appointment type doctor, whatever, in a week. If I do more than that, it ruins the week. Only 1 lunch with anybody during the week. 1 evening out during the week. I eat home all the time, if I possibly can, for many reasons. And by making my structure, years ago in OA, a sponsor had told me, if I want my life to go easier, structure it. And the defiance, resistance flared up. Oh, my God, this program's trying to control me. And I never saw it as a freedom, as a way out of the jail of the disease. And until it was explained to me, and I started to get it, and it definitely, definitely, as a misery addict, is the jail to have no structure, to just be, I'll just do what I feel like whenever I feel like, because I would almost always choose the most self-destructive paths to follow. So this plan for the day is oftentimes done, and the plan for Monday was done actually last Thursday, Friday, for chance. So I'm ahead of the game on that many times. And that simplification of my life, as someone earlier said, is such a relief. Now, oftentimes, it does not go like I plan. Appointments change. Meals burn. Things happen. And I move with them, and they don't upset me like they used to when I have to change them. I used to think, I mean, at least what I got out of the movies and books was that people made decisions and then it was set in stone. At least that's what seemed to happen for them. Maybe that was the books I read back in the 50s and 60s, I don't know. But it's much more realistic now in movies, books, and certainly in music, swear words and everything. And so having that reality that it doesn't go smoothly for anyone, I still question, was that available to me? Was that knowledge available to me earlier in my life? Because I didn't think so. I thought that I made a decision, and if it was the right one, my life would be good, and if it was the wrong one, my life would be bad. And now I don't really make decisions. The universe guides me. I try to schedule things or arrange things and get things done. If they don't, oh, not a big deal anymore. It's fine.
just had the 17 people visiting. My husband's side of the family all came for 3 days around Thanksgiving, and most of them stayed here. And I'm with my higher power took care of me because my husband's third brother, said, "Look, Shirley, we're all coming to stay with you. We don't want it to be duress. Please get a caterer to handle as much of the food as you think will be helpful, and hire somebody to serve for Thanksgiving dinner." We had 24 people for dinner, and I had help. And I don't think I'll ever do a dinner even close to that big again without help. It was so wonderful to be able to sit and talk to people and not be worried about what I left in the oven and what do I have to clear. And it was heaven. And I could have afforded this years ago, but I never considered it. It never entered my head until this brother-in-law suggested it. And that's what the universe does for me. The universe gives me better plans than I can make. That's what I've learned in my recovery, is if I get out of the way, my higher power would have given me a life, if I'd gotten out of the way, would have given me a life that would have been magnificent. But I kept trying to control it and predict it and plan it. And I didn't. I didn't have the skill or the ability at the time to make the best choices. Not much better. Used my intuition a lot. Learned a lot from past mistakes. So, yeah. And checking now at night, I am not so organized as to write it down. I won't do that. But I do make a point of looking at what was an upsetting event during the day. And what might I have done different? Now, it is so totally unique and new to not think, oh, you screw up. Oh, you mess up. Why didn't you know better than that? No, I just say, okay, I did X, and maybe next time I'll try Y, with no criticism, no judgment. It's wonderful, absolutely wonderful. So I am doing this stuff. Am I doing it as formalized as she writes? No. But I am doing it and living it, and it's made my life a lot better. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Shirley. Really appreciate that input. All right, who else we got hasn't had a chance to speak, or someone who might want to double dip and speak again?
Hey, this is Megan. I'm home.
Yay, Megan. Excellent.
Hi. So I just got the book today.
Congrats.
Thanks. I read the first 6 chapters and shouted a lot because it's just, I'm sure you've all experienced this. It's definitely what I've been doing, and it's uncomfortable to have that exposed and obvious. I'm just getting started and figuring out my different tool addictions. I just learned that word today. So I've got about 3.5 weeks from one addiction, which is what I started getting into recovery about a month ago. And then One of my big ways that I use to avoid everything is spending too much time on my phone. And so I've had that, my girlfriend helped me strip it down. So I can only make phone calls and texts, and I don't have internet access on my phone anymore, which has been good for me, but it has also sucked. However, this morning I realized, she called me out on it, I had slid right into texting someone excessively, because I was still trying to do those same behaviors. So I was trying to be sneaky about that. I'm going to have to figure out how to curb my compulsive texting when I still need to be able to text in the rest of my life. So, yeah, I guess I just wanted to say thanks for introducing me to all of this and sharing on this call. And yeah, I will keep reading and keep working. Thanks.
Thank you, Megan. It's a joy to watch you turn into this stuff. It's very, very cool. Okay. Anyone else have anything to share? Double dipping, triple dipping, anything at all?
Is Michael, I'll share briefly here.
Wonderful, Michael. Thank you.
I didn't hear exactly the topic of what we read about, but I'll just what I heard. The form I use that has been helpful for me that I started using the last month or so that I use before I go to bed. It's a kind of different version of the 10th step, and I like it better. It's, for me, it leaves me more in a positive mood when I go to bed, and it's more instead of, you know, what amends do I may have to make, or where did I, you know, miss an opportunity, or you know, something, or what I missed or what I didn't do. This sheet is more, I ask myself four questions. Is where did I experience joy today? What did I accomplish today? What am I grateful for today? And who did I help today? And it doesn't take very long to do, but it always amazes me that there is times I have joy during the day, and there are things I have accomplished and people I have helped. And you know, just that little form has helped me tremendously for my 10th step at the end of each day.
That's wonderful, Michael. Thank you so much for sharing that. Hey, we still got time, or we can wrap it up and send y'all to bed a little early tonight. Okay, I will ask one last time. Does anyone have a burning desire to speak another time?
I have a question. This
okay.
is Megan.
Hey, Megan.
Someone mentioned a Saturday meeting. Is that a phone meeting or an in-person meeting?
That's a phone meeting, and if you'll stay after the call, I'll walk you through the website so you can see all the stuff that we have going on, because we have lots.
Okay, thank you.
Excellent. Thank you for the question. All right, thank you all for being here. We hope to see you again next time. Next time for this meeting is Monday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, which is 9 a.m. Central, 8 a.m. Mountain, and 7 a.m. Pacific Time. Remember that just by attending a meeting, you do a service to others. We couldn't have a meeting if you weren't here. Remember, too, that anonymity, like recovery, is a treasured possession. What we say here, what you hear here, when you leave here, please let it stay here. The MAA-SSA Fellowship is growing, and service opportunities are available. Filling a service need is a great way to strengthen recovery. Please visit our website at miseryaddicts.org and click on the green button titled Service Opportunities, available at the bottom of all pages. Working this 12 steps and 12 traditions with a sponsor is key to quality, sustained recovery. Is there anyone on the call who is available to be a temporary sponsor? If so, please give us your name and telephone number now so that anyone seeking a sponsor can contact you. Okay, well, I am available as a temporary sponsor. My name is Alima. My phone number is 678-427-5157, and I prefer a text first, and then that way... I do host a lot of conference calls, so that way I can make a time that we can talk. As an additional service to our recovery, this meeting maintains a text group reminder list, which is used to send a reminder before the meeting. Please let us know at this time if you'd like to be added to it.
Megan, yes, please.
Okay, Megan, I think you got a text tonight. If you didn't, then I got to check my phone. So let's deal with that after the call. But thank you. Yes, we definitely sent your text. And cool. Okay, would someone please read the SSA MAA promises?
Are those in the book somewhere?
No, they're on the website.
Okay.
And they're in every single meeting format that we have.
Okay.
This is Malcolm. I can do that.
Thank you so much, Malcolm.
SSAMAA promises. At the end of the promises, we ask the question, do we see these promises coming true? Everyone is invited to come off mute and respond with an enthusiastic, yes, we do. As we live the 12 steps, we find freedom from misery addiction and discover our authentic selves. Self-sabotage, avoidance, and fear leave us as trust grows. Compassion increases as we love and accept ourselves just as we are at this moment. We no longer use guilt, shame, and regret to hurt ourselves or others. As we release perfection and control, we become more successful, secure, and happy. Recovery brings clarity, intimacy, and joy. It draws us into harmony with life. As good things happen again and again, we experience our higher power doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Do we see these promises coming true? Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. Thank you so much. Let us now form a virtual circle. I put my hand in yours, and together we can do what we could never do alone. No longer is there a sense of hopelessness. No longer must we each depend upon our own unsteady willpower. We are all together now, reaching out our hands for power and strength greater than ours. And as we join hands, we find love and understanding beyond our wildest dreams. In closing, I invite everyone to come off mute and join me in the we version of the Serenity Prayer. After a moment of silence for anyone who suffers from any addiction, anywhere in the world, both in and out of the rooms of recovery. In a moment of gratitude that we have been given the opportunity to find the rooms of recovery. Serenity prayer. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change.
We cannot change.
The courage. The things we can.
The things we can.
And the wisdom,
to know the difference.
Oh, thank you all for joining us. Know that without your presence, there could be no meaning. And remember that it works and we are worth it. Please say it with me now. We are worth it.
Worth it.
We are. Yes, we are.